Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our first of two Purim editions of Psychology in the Writings of Rav Dessler. I've already been asked several times, why are we talking about unhappiness and unhappy people if we're talking about Purim? That's a good point. We'll get back to that. Now, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Adar, and you can almost feel the simcha in the air. I see such smiling faces, tired faces, but also such smiling faces. Remember when I was in YU, on a night like tonight, with the first day of Adar Aleph, people were so excited, not Adar Aleph, the month, but the first day of really Adar, people were so excited. I remember one time that the Gaba made an announcement after Marav. He said, there'll be a spontaneous Rikud outside in the hallway right now. That's how he announced it. Everyone felt that spontaneity. Everyone felt that excitement, and it really carried over. The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tainus says, really the phrase, Mishnechnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, is not really an expression that it found in Chazal. It's not really an expression that we find in Chazal directly, at least not in the Mishnah. The Mishnah original phrase, Mishnichnas Av, Mimatin Visimcha. The original formulation is when Av comes along, we start to decrease in the happiness. When the Gemara comments on that Mishnah, the Gemara says, Kishem, just like Mishnichnas Av, Mimatin Visimcha, so too, when it comes to Adar, Marbin Visimcha. In volume 2, Rav Dessler makes the point that there's a comparison there. Why did the Gemara have to say, just like in Av, we're going downward, and Adar, we're increasing Simcha? And Rav Dessler in Volume 2 points out that just like an Av, it's coming incrementally. It's coming gradually. First there's some Tzar, Shavasar B'Tammuz, Rosh Chodesh Av, the 9 days, Shavua Shechalbo. The Tzar is increasing bit by bit. So too when it comes to Adar, that's the Gemara's comparison. When it says, just like that, so too when it comes to Adar, we have to increase it incrementally. More copies back there? Here, another copy. Hot off the press. So we have to increase the simcha incrementally. It's the first day of a couple of week period. There's actually a focus in the postgame. Is it just the 2 weeks until Purim, or is the whole month, even after Purim is over, are we supposed to have a riboy in terms of simcha? But the idea is we're supposed to slowly, slowly increase our happiness. Now, how are we supposed to do that? Because people tend to have a lot of tzaros, unfortunately, and there's a lot of reasons to be unhappy. So in order to unlock the secret of happiness, we're going to have to delve tonight into the negative side. And to figure out what is the secret of unhappiness. Why is it that so many people are unhappy? What is the recipe for unhappiness, which then opens the door to allow us to access the question, what is it we can do to reduce unhappiness and to increase happiness? So I'm going to share my screen, and people in the crowd have copies as well. This is a very easy essay of Rav Dessler to find. It is in Volume 1, Page 1. It is actually the very first essay in all of Michtav Me'eliyahu. Part of a larger chapter called Ha'osher Ba'aschar Ba'olam Hazeh, Happiness and Reward in This World. We're going to focus on the subheading for tonight, Chai Osher, A Life of Happiness, A Pursuit of Happiness. We're going to figure out what goes wrong, why is it people have a hard time pursuing happiness? And the emphasis is going to be in this world. As the first words, Chai Osher Ba'olam Hazeh, Happiness in this world, that is going to be a key theme we're going to talk about. Another important thing to think about, if that's just going to use the homophones, Osher, and Osher. What's a homophone?
Sounds the same.
Two words that sound the same, but are spelled differently and mean different things. Osher with an ayin means wealth. Osher with an aleph means happiness. Ashri Osher V'Secha, how fortunate, how lucky, how happy. So we're going to talk about the Osher with an aleph, the Osher with an ayin, and how the two interplay. Because there seems to be an association made in the world that Osher of happiness comes from Osher of wealth, which people have pointed out may not be true in different ways, which we'll get back to. So let's look together at what's the secret of unhappiness. Dessler says, Chai Osher Ba'olam Hazeh Milo Yada Be'er Gimel Milam Elu. Everyone knows these three words. Everyone knows we're all pursuing happiness. Ma'a Osher Ba'olam Hazeh. What does it mean to have true happiness in this lifetime? L'chora Halo Pashitu, everyone would say, Kiza Asher Yuchal La'asig Es Kol Asher Yachbots. A person who is not lacking anything, a person has whatever they want, a person doesn't feel like they're missing anything, that's a person who's happy, they're fulfilled, they have what they have, they have what they want. We'll get back to that. We just assume, we take for granted, with an ayin, with an aleph. That a person who has great business skills, or a person who has great intellect to be able to accumulate wealth, has good business acumen, well, if Wealth is the secret to happiness, and having a high IQ or having good business acumen is the secret to making good money, so then that's the secret. The Chomi Asher Yeshlo Meretz Rav Yosef the Charifos the Arem Va'arama Yaseirim, a person who has more cunning, more energy, more vigor, more sharpness, Hu Niyu Zeh Asher Yeshlo HaKochos HaNidrashim LaZeh. He is set up, he has the tools to be able to accomplish happiness because he's more misugal, he's more prone and set up to be able to accomplish wealth. Harei b'chol makom anu roam mishalmim mibali olam hazeh ad kama magdilim es malos bal hashaifa. Everyone talks in the business world about the great attribute of passion, the great value of drive, of being ambitious. Yad kama misachim mizeh shehu umlal be'ineyam asher batlani karulo. People look down on those who don't have ambition. If someone is lacking financially, people say, oh, he's not really so motivated, he's lazy. Everyone knows about passion and energy and about grit. And those who don't have wealth must not be happy. And they don't have wealth because they're lazy. They're not putting in enough ambition or enough hard work. Amnam Kani says where it's underlined. Kishenestakel heita v'nachpesa b'derech systemati. If we really analyze this in a systematic way, nishal ha'im kvara inu adamu ushar b'olam. Has anybody here ever seen someone who is happy? It's a loaded question. He says, "Af kishen nishalas acherim." If we ask people, "Im pagshu o ra'u anashim u'sharam be'olam," if you ask, "Have you ever seen someone else who is happy?" Bevaday hein hein yanunu. Yeah. Of course, they say, "I've seen people who are happy." Everyone out there seems to be happy. They found their tafkid. They found their mission. They found their success. V'gam anu ba'atzmin and nira lanu kikein. And we also feel that way. Yeah, there are people out there who seem to be happy. Hein bevaday yesh gam bein ha'ashirim ha'umlalim. Yes, there are people who are rich who are miserable, and there are people who are millionaires who are bitter. Okay, we recognize that not everyone who's rich is always happy. But we see some people who are wealthy, people who have whatever they want, a silver spoon, and they appear to us to be happy. We see how they live, their homes, their mansions. We see their food and their parties. Their servants and their butlers. And their travels, their limousines. Their comings and their goings, their fancy vacations. We see all their jewelry, all their riches, all their flashy stuff. Certainly if there's no unfortunate tangential tragedy that comes out of nowhere, barring any type of outside tragedy, they look so happy. They have the vacation home. They have the extra car. They have the tremendous Pesach program. They seem so happy. They seem to have it all. It's very superficial that we see people who seem to have a lot and people post on Instagram all their successes and we assume that they're happy. Me, myself, we all say we're miserable. So many things get us down, whether it's parnasa or children or rachmana litzlan, pain and all kinds of things that people go through. We know how miserable we all are. But we look around and we see, oh, there are happy people in the world. Everyone else just seems so happy. Im nachbots levarer zeba ofan systemati. If you want to break it down, ach derech echad lefanenu. We only have one path to be able to truly understand. Derech echad. We only can have one way of truly understanding the system to see if people are really happy. Now, we're not bein b'nei adam v'nishal aspi, and we have to ask people, not lo nishal es ha'echad al chaveiro. Don't ask, have you seen other people who appear to be happy? Ela es kol echad v'yechad al atzmo. Ask people. Ask people how they feel. You know what they're going to say? Tired. Everyone says tired. No one is happy or sad or grumpy. Everyone's just tired. Okay, fine. That's par for the course. Everyone is tired.
Unless they don't have young children, then maybe
they're not. Maybe. Unless they have teenagers and they're really tired. Ask each person the truth. Don't ask what other people seem to be. Ask each person, how do you feel? Do you feel happy? But us, hello, no da, hello, neda, barura, sms, then we'll know the truth. Because if it just looks like everyone else is happy, then we're not really getting a sense of what people actually think. Everyone's looking outward. You know, people pointed out in a social media age, I know this is clearly the social media age, that people point out just what a difficult phenomenon it is to see everyone else's vacations on Instagram. And people get so frustrated. The perfect family picture. You know, I know when my kids are going on a vacation, we're driving around somewhere, there's kicking and fighting in the car, and everyone just seems so miserable. But everyone else posts the greatest smiling picture of the kids. they're also fighting in the car. They just don't post that picture. You know, no one ever posts, like, check out this video of my husband yelling at my son for failing his math test, LOL. They don't post that video. They just post the exciting stuff. So we all see the miserable aspects of our lives, but only seem to notice the fun and exciting and happiness of someone else's Erev Shabbos table or someone else's vacation. That's all we see. But if you want to know if people are really happy, we have to ask people directly. What are we going to find if we break it down systematically and go group to group socioeconomically? Because we're assuming that wealth, Osher with an ayin, has something to do with Osher with an aleph, happiness, where it's underlined. Naschil l'sholas pi hashirim. Let's ask the wealthy first. Elu asher kesef to'afos lahem. They have money flowing out of their pockets. Asher z'avam yashlichu b'chutzos mirav kol. They have gold that they can spare to throw away. Elu asher ba'armanos. You truly live in palaces and mansions. U'mechoniyot hayoser. Nehadaros yisru. They travel in fancy cars. Mayanu lanu kol echad mayam. What are they going to say if we ask, are you happy? Are you happy in life? What are they going to say? Lo banu ha'osher v'lo lanuhu. No, not us. We're not the happy ones. Hey, ma'osher zachinu ba'ayin ra. Yeah, we have the osher with the ayin. We have materialism. We have stuff. Ach el ha'alef, the osher with an aleph. Lo zachinu adayin, not yet. We haven't achieved happiness yet. Why? Zeba b'kinaso, zeba tavaso. This one is jealous of the person who's on Forbes number 487. And I'm only Forbes 488. I'm in the top 500, but there's a lot of people ahead of me. There's a long way for me to go. And there's a lot of taiva. There's a lot of desire for more. I need another house. I need another pool. I need another car. I need another spouse or whatever else they feel like they don't have right now. Rubam rala hambebesam. They have troubles at home. Tzaros mishpacha, family issues. Tzaros banim, tzaros banos. Tzaros kol devar asher yetzer lahem. They have plenty of things that are plaguing them. But tzaros lo tzidadios hina. They're not tangential or coincidental struggles that they have. Elamine obey, the struggles themselves come from the wealth that to us makes them look happy. What a chazal say in Pirkei Avos, marba nechasim, marba daiga. A person has more property, a person has more things to worry about, they have more things to worry about. Mitoch ashramu machamaso mishavim, they have the tzaros that come from living in a world of dog eat dog where they have to beat out everybody else, or they have to be fancier and bigger and have the biggest yacht. And have a yacht for their yacht, they have to continue to impress everyone else. Have the biggest parties and have the showiest clothes. Ki hein lo yamus ha'adam ve'hisigas chatzi mishalos levavo. Chazal say, a person doesn't leave this world with even half of their desires fulfilled. If you have more stuff, you have bigger dreams and you have bigger desires and bigger expectations and a bigger social network where you're held to a higher standard. If you're only hanging out on the golf courses and all the country clubs, well then that's your circle of peers. And if you're the lowest among them, you're poor. So they're not happy either, necessarily. Turn to page number 2. Emkein lo be'ela ha'osher. We're not going to find necessarily a guaranteed happiness among the wealthiest. Okay, let's go down the socioeconomic chain. Nishalanat piachem. Let's ask a different group. Ela asher beinonim heima b'madrigos ha'osher. They're the middle class. What are the middle class going to say? Are the middle class happy? Let's ask them. B'nimtza, it turns out. Ki ovdim heima avoda rabba v'kasha l'man harbos kesef. They work insanely hard to be able to accumulate savings. Maybe when they work so hard, they feel so fulfilled. Maybe they feel tremendous contentment and happiness. Here we find something very surprising. Their entire lives seem to be dedicated not to actually enjoying any happiness. The middle class spends their entire life trying to prepare themselves to one day have happiness. What are they actually supposed to have that moment to stop and relax and enjoy and to actually feel happy? Hachuvahi, lo'olam lo, not yet. Still have a while to go. Gotta marry off the kids first. We gotta get the summer house. We gotta be able to retire. There are people who work ridiculously hard the entire year. Maybe they don't see their families, maybe they don't have a chance to do anything spiritual or meaningful, but they live for that 1 week or 2 weeks vacation in the summer. They work 50 weeks a year to go on vacation for 2 weeks, so they can go back to work 50 weeks so they can go on vacation for 2 weeks. Or they work for 30, 40, 50 years to be able to retire. Okay, then they retire. They spent their entire lives waiting, just not yet. It's going to be one day where I'm actually able to take a break and to enjoy myself. Az, kishe yazkinu, when they become elderly, v'yamdu al sharei maves, rachmana letzlan, they're nearing 120. Az, yimatsu atzmam kemo avar abatam en olam, and they're too tired to enjoy anything. They spent the last 100 years working really hard to be able to finally have that enjoyment. And then they get to the stage where they're actually able to lay it all back, and all they want to do is lay in the chair. Maybe that's happiness. Okay, everyone has their own. But they're not. Where's all that hard work going to? Pass it on to the kids. Okay, so the kids have a head start when they start working. But the kids start working in those law firms and those accounting firms, and they're working ridiculously hard. So they can have money for their kids. And those kids inherit that money, and they have a good start to their life. And then they're constantly working and never seeing their families and being miserable so that their kids can have it. Can't wait to see this last generation who's been inheriting everyone's wealth for decades and decades, who finally gets to be happy. Can't wait to see them. They're probably going to be really happy. But what are they going to do? Heim ba'avoda hisraglu. They got used to the idea of just working really hard. V'yachshav, at the end of life, she'elem koach la'avo b'malacha, now that they're retired, lo yimatzu shum tam v'inyan b'chayem, you don't find any purpose. V'nirim heima k'mot tzil chayim. The life is like a shadow of life. V'kacha heim be'eni atzmam, in their own eyes, they see themselves as not being happy. The elite wealthy may not be happy. Middle class is not happy. So who's next? The lowest class? Hayim nered od el hapachusim meham. Should we keep going downward? Hapoalim haovdim tamir biagia kapam. Those who work the hardest. Hayim hema hamushamra. They're the ones, the lucky ones in the world, who are actually going to be happy. Nishal espiim. Let's give them an ask. Let's take a survey. Let's find out what they do. Hemovdim avoda kasha yom yom v'lefamim gam lelos. They work multiple jobs, all day and all night. And after all that hard work, they're working harder than anybody else. They don't get to go on vacation. They don't get to go away. They're working day and night. Yargishu ki chelkam b'chaya olam hu akatan shebechalakim. They have such a small, the smallest amount of time to enjoy anything. V'sovrim ki eila ha'ashirim heim heima shalaku lehem is kol osher kulan kulo al cheshbon shala ovdim. These people work the hardest. They do all the work for the companies, putting in all the numbers. And the rich guys, the CEOs, have to go on vacation. And those who are working the hardest have to stay behind and crunch some more numbers. They don't get to go on vacations like that. V'chihem ha'po'alim, those lowest level of workers, are those hema asher kol tuv yaviu li'olam. They bring about good to the world because they're the ones on the front lines actually doing the cashier work and the ones schlepping. They're the ones who are actually living life. Avalo avur atzmam, they're not living for themselves. Elasha acherim yugazlu mehem. Stealing is a harsh term, but just all their hard work helps other people get rich. Hamzeu osher, is that happiness? Bevadai lo. So how's it going so far? Anybody happy? Unhappy? I always felt this way about stages of life. People are always so focused on the next stage of life. When is there ever time to enjoy a stage of life? Oh, remember the good old high school days? Those are great, the wild and carefree. Nobody in high school thinks that. In high school, they're always miserable. Can't wait to finally graduate and either go to college or go off to Israel. I can't wait to get out of here already. And they got to Israel, like, remember high school? I had no worries at all. Okay, I just wanted to just like start college already and just get a job and get money and get married. Okay, so they go on and they get married and they're like, okay, so then I just want to have kids like everybody else. And okay, so they have, I wish my kids could be older because they're not sleeping at night. I wish the kids can just go to school already because, you know, right now it's really hard having the kids home. Oh, tuition's really expensive. Can't wait till the kids are out of school to marry off my kids because, you know, it's really hard right now. Can't wait to have grandchildren. Can't wait to marry off a grandchild. Hey, look, I'm 119 years old. What happens? We spend every stage of life looking back at the previous stage saying, I can't believe I didn't enjoy my college years. Or remember the high school years? How easy was it being in fifth grade and the biggest problem is a book report? Or we look ahead and say, I can't wait for that next stage. And we get to the next stage and all we do is look back and look forward. We're never living in the present. That's the secret of unhappiness. No one is able to enjoy. People are waiting to live their lives. People are looking for more to accumulate or to outpace someone else. That's life. So wait a second. We went through all of our classes of people, where it's underlined. Vim Kain, Ayehema Hachaim Hamusharim Ba'olam. Where is that happiness that we're looking for in the world? Who are the happy ones? Zoe Sheila Sena, that's our question. They may shavon, and no one's raising their hand. When we ask, are there happy people in the world? We say, yeah, I've seen happy people in the world. No. Don't talk for someone else, what you see on Instagram. You person, are you happy? No, not me. I gotta work really hard. No, everyone else has more than I do. No, I can't be happy. I used to have a happy stage, but now I'm at a different stage of life, or I'm not at the next stage yet. Rak bas kolam shokol bali olam hazeh ta'anenu. There's like an echo in the world that screams out, Chaim ha-me'usharim einam. Maybe there is no such thing as a happy life. Maybe no one is happy. It's a davar barim ma'od. We all can attest to this. Ha-misbar mikol tzad apina b'chol minei birur. We can analyze it up and down, back and forth, upside down. Each person, if you ask them, are you happy? Many people will say that no. I haven't arrived yet. If happiness is having things you need, no. I have more things I want to get. Regardless of how much money's in the bank or how many yachts are in the, not driveway, but how many yachts are in the pier, the docks. Who really is happy? I'm going to pause here for a second. What do you think about this setup, aside from being depressing?
Certainly there are people who are happy. As a group, if you ask rich people, it's likely that a lot of them aren't happy. Same thing with every single group. But certainly there are people in every group that are happy. So I'm not sure I take the premise that Ed says that.
It's a good question, right? If that's where his point is that, as a whole, there are people who are rich who aren't happy, and there are people who are middle class who aren't happy, and there are people who are poor who are unhappy. But who's to say that there won't be people in the crowd who are not happy? Maybe there are people, individuals. Each class may have something wrong in their lives, but you challenge the premise, there could be people, individuals who are happy. Good. And that's what we're going to have to explain. What is the secret of those people? Because if it's wealth by, I think the point he's really trying to make is less about no one's happy in the world. I think his point is that if we equate osher and osher, that can't be the story. Because we see people of all socioeconomic classes who aren't happy. So the wealth itself does not create happiness. And the question we're going to have to address is, so what is it about those individuals who we see across classes who are happy? What qualities do they have? What midos do they perpetuate that allows them to be happy?
Well, what was mentioned before was Ezeho or Shir Samet Bechelka. Obviously, it was mentioned. People are satisfied with their part.
Good. We're going to get to that. We're going to figure out what is it that allows a person to achieve something like that. Absolutely.
So, although it seems antithetical to Judaism, it would be people who live in the moment. On Shabbos, when you're not thinking about trying not to figure out work and what you need to do and the bills that you have to pay and just enjoying the Shabbos, that would be the spiritual side of it. But in reality, it's people who are only focusing on what they're doing presently and not thinking about accumulating more wealth or what something else, what the next step is, they theoretically are the happy ones.
Beautiful. That's exactly where he's going to go. It's those who are, I'm going to repeat it for those on Zoom. It's those who are present in the moment. It's those who are not looking ahead to the next stage. It's those who are not looking back at the past. We're definitely going to say that. Yeah.
People could be happy often, but nobody's happy all the time. And
good.
So if you focus on the times that you're not happy, you'll be less happy or unhappy more often. So it's what your focus is.
I was hoping someone would say that. Thank you for. I'll pay you later for. I keep feeding you the lines. That's a very good point, right? Happiness is not a yes or no. It's not all the time or none of the time. People can experience happiness at some point in the day or the week or the month or the stage of life, and it's those who choose to have those moments matter that might say I'm happy. Whereas even if the people he's talking about do have pleasurable or enjoyable moments, if they're not conscientious of it as it's going on and internalize it, they may not think of themselves as happy, even if there are moments in their lives in which they smile or feel good about themselves. So it's more of a perspective than it is a matter of, do you ever have happiness or never have happiness? It's when a person's asked the question, are you happy? It could depend on how much they have moments that they stop to take reflection and how much those moments in the scheme of life matters enough to them that they feel that they could answer yes. And Ochani had her hand up.
Yes. There is an old poem, ballad, story. I don't remember the exact details, but a king was very, very sick, and his doctor said the only thing that will cure him is if he gets the shirt off a happy man's back. So his advisors go throughout the land. They can't find anyone. Finally, they end up in a marketplace, and they see this man who's so happy. He's singing, dancing, whatever he's doing. But they go over to him, and they say, excuse me, I see you're so happy. He said, sure, I'm happy. Can we have your shirt? We need it for the king. I'd gladly give it to you if I had a shirt, but don't have a shirt to give you.
Right? It's all a matter of perspective. A person could be happy with anything or with nothing.
Exactly.
Very good.
Your frame of mind.
It's a mindset. Good. So I want to make sure we have time to get to what he's going to actually say, and then we'll make time for questions at the end too. So Dasher points out in this next paragraph, I'm Cain, hello Nisha, we have to ask the question, Maza Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Shebara Olam Gadol Laman Shehakol, Mamash Hakol, Yizbelu Bo Yisurim Rayim Gedolim. It seems that every person has negative things going on in their lives, reasons to be unhappy, and that's the world that Kodesh Baruch Hu created? Hello Gam Zeh Iyef Sharu, that's not possible, it can't be that this is it. That this is the world that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a mative who tries to do so much good for us, who does so much good for us, and that there's so much unhappiness. The problem isn't what the world is having or the way that life is progressing. It's the perspective of those who are unhappy that we have to figure out. Im kein halo baruch sheyesh tikun l'ra hazeh la'ason hanara shekara l'chol ha'olam kulo. There must be some solution, some fix to this terrible tragedy that we find that everyone we ask seems to be unhappy. We have to figure out what is the solution. What is the secret to happiness? Where can we find the happiness? Kadosh Baruch Hu definitely puts the capacity for happiness there. As we're in Adar right now, we'd like to believe, we know with confidence there is an opportunity to increase the simcha. Where is it? What can we do to become happy? In order to figure out the answer, aleinu levara sakilkul, to figure out what is the root of the problem. Only the doctor who understands the cause of the illness can properly prescribe treatment. Mawa kilkul haolami, what is this universal problem asher yakalkel es ashreinu b'chayim, that gets in the way of people of all classes of being happy. What do Chazal tell us? Mefurash Huba Mishnah. This is at the end of the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. Hakina, v'hatava, v'hakavod, motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, and honor take a person out of this world. And we're going to explain those words not just as an expression of out of the world means it messes you up. Literally, out of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of goodness, a world with the capacity for happiness. And that means that people aren't happy. It's something that we're doing that's taking us out of the world, that is preventing us from living a meaningful, happy, fulfilling, content life. Ha'olam kasher bara o Hashem yisbarach, olam me'ushar hu, the world is good. Ela anu asher yatsanu me'olam ha'osher, we're the ones who are not paying attention, we're the ones who are taking ourselves away from the goodness, away from the happiness. El olam ha'sevel, al yidei shloshes ha'kochos halalu, asher hotzi'unu mimenu. People take these three forces, kina, taiva, and kavod, and those are the responsible tools, weapons, poisons, that a person falls into the trap of them, which prevents a person from being happy. That's the secret to unhappiness, kina, taiva, and kavod. V'im adam yivrach mina kina, va taiva, va kavod. The person can truly stay far away from these three poisonous values, three poisonous lenses of life. Haynu shiyagarshe milibo, to distance them and expel them from a person's perspective. Yisakin es olamo, a person could fix themselves, his own world. V'yia olam malei osher min akatsa l'akatsa. You can totally go from one extreme to the next. You'll be miserable today, but happy tomorrow with a change in perspective. You know, I think about what Neil mentioned before, the importance of being present. I like to think of these three things as being the opposite of being present. Kina, taiva, and kavod. Let's go in reverse order. Kavod is very much focused in the past. I've earned so much. I've done so much. Why isn't the recognition here? Don't you know all that I've done? Don't you know how much I've earned? Person looks back at the past and sees unfairness and sees things that are not right, how they should be. I deserve more kavod. I'm better than this. Taiva is very much future-oriented. I need more. I need more. I'm not happy with these boats. I need another boat, another vacation. And kina is focused on the present, but somebody else is present. What do they have right now? What's going on in their life? What's their Instagram story? What's their update? What's their life cycle? How much do they have? When a person's not focused on the present, either because they're thinking about all the things that they're deserving for what they've already done, or they're focused on the future because they keep thinking about what still they don't have, what they're lacking still, or all they can think about is how someone else is living, what their house looks like, and they're remodeling, and their kitchen, If that's all we can think about, then we're never living our lives in this world. It's a very literal understanding of motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam. You're not living life. You're not in the world. All you can think about is things that were, things that you still want, and what someone else is doing. You're not living. Of course you're not going to be happy if you're not living. You can blame the world as a cruel world where no one is happy, or we can say the world is good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented all this tov, all these opportunities for happiness, for simcha. But that's not possible if a person isn't living today, isn't living in the moment, isn't appreciating what they have now, not what they deserve from what they did before, or what they still have yet to get, or what someone else is doing right now. Now the Gemara Maseches Erev in Daf Yud Gimel has an expression that if a person chases after kavod, kavod runs away. But if you run from kavod, kavod's going to follow after you. Which honestly is the exact same thing with little children. When they're running on the street, you run after them, you run further. But if you say, okay, I'm going home, you walk away from the kid, they don't leave me out here. The more you chase the kid, the more they run away. Okay, forget it, I'm out of here, I'm not chasing you. Wait, come back, don't leave me out here all by myself. Kavod works the same way. Chase after kavod, what am I going to get, what's mine? It could be that Hashem moves it farther away from you, or just a mindset of a person who's always chasing kavod will never get there. It's like the carrot on the stick when the horse is just walking and walking. You're always looking for what's next. You're never going to get that. Now, someone came to the Kotzker Rebbe and he said, you know, my whole life, I've lived by this line in the Gemara. I've been running from kavod my entire life, and when's it going to catch up to me? Why hasn't it caught up to me? And the Kotzker Rebbe said, keep looking over your shoulder. You can't really run from kavod if you're looking over your shoulder. You're not really running from kavod. You're just hoping it follows you. And with kids the same way. They see you look over your shoulder, and they run away again. You have to make sure to really run away from kavod. A person who tries to distance themselves from kavod, have kavod follow after them. The whole idea is to be in the present, to live in this world now. Be present now. Don't live on based on what happened before, the previous stage that didn't work out exactly, or that was amazing but is no longer here, or the things that are still yet to come. The person does this, Reb Dessler says, he can turn around, min ha-katza el ha-katza, completely turn around an entire perspective. On the last line of page 2, lo rak osher, with an aleph, yellow. When a person does this perspective and pushes away matters of looking at someone else, or always thinking of dreaming for more, or always looking back and saying, why don't I have the life that I'm proud of yet? Not only are they going to have happiness when they push these perspectives away, elagam osher with ba'ayin tova. Now we have the positive eye. The positive ayin. Maybe we write the first time. Maybe osher and osher are correlated. Maybe they do go together. But not that those who are wealthy are going to be happier. But those who have a happiness perspective are going to feel rich. As everyone quoted before, Ki'am Ramzal, at the very beginning of Perek Dalet of Perkei Avos, Ezehu Ashir, on page 3, Hasameach b'chelko. Chazal tell us what it means to be rich with an ayin. Person who is happy with an aleph. They have a sense of perspective. If we think of happiness as a result, people throw up their hands and they get very frustrated. Why am I not happy yet? When am I going to be happy? Chazal are telling us that happiness, we have it backwards. We think that wealth is the means and happiness is the result. Let me get more stuff, more wealth, and I'll be resulted in happiness. Chazal, in their brilliant wisdom, say it's the opposite. We mix up cause and effect. It's not that amassing wealth makes us happy. It's choosing to be a happy person makes you feel wealthy. Wealth isn't a number. Wealth is a mindset. Look what he says now. Lo amru ki gam hu ashir. Chazal don't say, you're also rich if you're happy with what you have. Lo amru ki ashir gadolu, or you're the greatest type of rich person if you're happy with what you have. What do Chazal say? They don't say who is also happy, who is also rich, or who is the greatest rich person. Ela amru ki rak hu ha'ashir, ezo ashir. Who is the only person who was ever truly defined as wealthy? Vizula so lo rak she'ein osher. He has everything except for happiness. Aval gam osher einenu. He doesn't have wealth. He doesn't have wealth. We mentioned this about 6 months ago in an earlier installment of this. Wealth is a mindset. You know, I used to think Ezo Asher, Smech Bechalka, was like a consolation prize for those who were poor. If you're actually wealthy, then you're actually wealthy. And if you're poor, we say, oh, who is really happy anyway? A person who's really rich anyway? A person who's happy with what he has. Kind of like with athletes, right? when they go into like the loser's locker room and they ask them about why they lost the playoff series. They say, oh, listen, what really matters is how you play the game. My Little League coach would tell us that. Only when we lost. When we lost, he would say, oh, winning or losing doesn't make a difference. It matters how you play the game. When we won, he never said that. You don't see the winners in the locker room spraying champagne saying, it's all how you play the game. Because when you win and you're awesome. When you lose, you say, hey, well, at least you tried hard, it's all how you play the game. Is that true for this also? If you're actually wealthy, then you're actually wealthy. And if you're poor, we say, hey, isn't happiness, isn't wealth a mindset anyway? No, Chazal are saying you're only truly wealthy if you have a perspective of contentment. Vatamhu on the third line. Mishum de ezo ani, because how would you define a poor person? Zo asher yachzar lo, as we started off today. Happiness is having everything you need. Well, then being poor is having lack. V'yes asher yachbo, it's in lo, and that which you want, you don't have. We pointed out in the past, the English word want doesn't just mean desire. The English word want also means wanting, means you're lacking something. Hashem rabbi lo achzar, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Achzar, lacking. Want means to be lacking. When you want something, it means you don't have it. And if you don't have it, then you're lacking something. If you have more wants than what you have, well, then you're poor because you have lackings. And we can't always control how much we have, but we can control how much we want and how much we need. Not in a spiritual or fluffy way, which is also good, but in a very practical term. So if I told you two people, we gave this analogy in the past, two people, one of them earns $50,000 a year, one earns $500,000 a year. Who's wealthier? Pure finances. Who's wealthier? The person earning $50,000 a year or $500,000 a year? Is the answer A, $50,000 person, B, $500,000 person, C, that they're the same, or D, not enough information? The answer is obviously D. If the person making $50,000 has no expenses, then they're banking savings every single month. If the person who earns $500,000 has expenses of $3 million, then they're going into serious debt. Wealth is not a number. It's a fraction. It's a calculation of how much you have versus how much you need. And we can't always control how much we have, but to some extent, we can control how much we need, how much we're lacking, how much we choose to feel we don't have, or where we choose to look to see who's got it. And we feel like we're lacking. We feel like we don't have it. Just to do it outside. Professor continues in this paragraph to say, in some sense, it's the wealthy who are more miserable than the poor. Because the poor, they have low standards and low income. So what are they lacking? Some food, a pillow. The wealthy who look around in their circles and they say, I'm missing 7 yachts and 4 vacations and this trophy wife and this exotic whatever yacht for my yacht. So they're missing more things because they have more things and they're in a circle where they're missing more things. I saw a great quote. Money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you a whole different quality of misery. Money can set you up to be in a scenario where your misery is a whole different level. Because the pauper isn't missing the yacht. He doesn't have lunch for tomorrow. So what's he missing? A sandwich. And this guy's missing a yacht and a summer home. Who's missing more? Who's more unhappy? It's not clear. The answer is D, not enough information here also. The person who's poor probably isn't doing too well either. But it's a mistake to think of wealth as the means by which a person becomes happy. It's a person who can choose to be happy, which is by living in the present, by not focusing on all the things that are deserving to them, or they still don't have, or what everyone else has. That's a choice, a perspective on what to focus, and an ability to be mindful of the present and the blessings and what they have going on right now. This is the stage of life that you look forward to in the previous stage. Well, now that you're here, let's enjoy it. There was obviously something meaningful about this stage of life because you looked forward to it in the previous stage and you're going to spend the next stage looking back saying, why didn't I take advantage of it? So now that you're here, whatever stage it is, enjoy it. It's a choice. It's a perspective. If Esther goes on, we'll just do the rest outside, where he says, this is not just a perspective of being happy, b'olam haba. Chazal are speaking very practically to us. Spiritual person who has very little needs, they're a person who's happy in the next world. But those who have the yachts are happy in this world. Those with the yachts are not necessarily happy in this world. They could be if they only knew one yacht and not 3 yachts. But that's not the barometer. The barometer is how much you have versus how much you need. You'll be happier in this world if that's your perspective. The reason we spoke about this 6 months ago is in the topic of giving. Or that's the first topic we did in the series about giving makes a person happy. When a person gives, they are saying, I have excess. I could be a philanthropist. I may only make $10,000 a year, but I can share $500. So I only have expenses of $9,500. So I have more than I need. I'm rich. They may earn $500,000, but their expenses are $300, and they're looking at all the things they don't have. They're going to be unhappy. They're going to be unhappy. And this is the time to think about this. We talk about Adar. We talk about this time to increase, just like Mishenichnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Martin B'Simcha means we have to work on this perspective. Well, why? Why is this an Adar Avoda? Why? What does this have to do with Purim? Well, if you look in the Megillah, we see the greatest example of someone who let Kena Taiva and Kavod draw him out of the world and be unhappy.
Haman.
You look at what Haman says. Haman's talking to his family. B'chol zeh einenu shaveli. He has every single person in the kingdom bowing down, except for one bearded guy. And he doesn't say, I have everything, but I'm missing something. He says, I have nothing. The kavod that's deserving of him, the taiva, the last thing that he wants, the kinnah, that he can't get it, it ruins him. It destroys him. There's a beautiful vort, Chazal Meseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, has a series of Purim Torah, which is appropriate. But Mara says, Esther Minat Torah Minayin, where is there a reference to Esther in the Chumash? Where is there a reference to Mordechai Minat Torah Minayin? Mara has cute psukim, cute puns. And the Mara asks, Haman Minat Torah Minayin, where do you find a reference to Haman, to Haman in the Chumash? And that's very good. And the Mara quotes a pasuk, Hamin ha'etz asher tivisicha levoti achol mimenu achalta. Kadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam and Chava, Hamin ha'etz, what's the pun? Haman ha'etz, Haman, the tree, perfect pun. It's cute. Professor Zalman Meltzer has a beautiful idea where he says, it's not just a cute pun. Look at that pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam and Chava, I gave you all the trees you could eat from. Hamin ha'etz asher, the one tree I told you not to eat from, you ate from. Instead of focusing on all the things that you have, you focus on the one you couldn't have, and you couldn't get it out of your head, and you focus on the one thing lacking, you could have 99%. But if your focus is on the 1% you're missing, you are lacking, you are wanting, you are missing, you are unhappy, you are poor. It's worth nothing to you. What happened to Adam and Chava? Out of the world, out of paradise. Can't be happy. Death comes to the world. Pain comes to the world. Suffering comes to the world. Haman min ha'Torah minayin. It's not just a cute pun. Haman ha'etz. Haman ha'etz. That's Haman. He's the same thing. He's got it all. He's got the ring. He's got the bling. He's got all the thing, right? He's got everything going for him. But it's worth nothing because of the kavod and the taiva and the kinnah. He can't possibly enjoy it. And at the end of the Megillah, Ayehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sasam v'ikar. Jewish people, we say this at Havdalah, the Jewish people, they had light and joy and gladness and yakar and preciousness. The Gemara Maseches Megillah says that these terms refer to specific mitzvahs. Ora is Torah, Simcha is Yom Tov, Sasan is Bris Milah, and yakar is Tefillin. Shlomo Zalman Orbach asked, why didn't Chazal just say this? Pasuk Megillah could have said, La Yehudim Haisa, Torah, the Yom Tov, the Bris, with Tefillin. Why does the Megillah refer to Torah as Ora, and Yom Tov as Simcha, and Bris as Sason, and Tefillin as Yikar? Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that during the Megillah story, during the Purim story, the Jewish people lost their perspective. They were in Galus for the first time, and they said it doesn't make sense that the Torah keeps us separate from the nations around us. And our holidays make us stand out. We have to take off from work. And our Bris Milah is a clear sign that we don't belong with everybody else. And our Tefillin is a sign of glory that doesn't allow us to fit in. They didn't see Torah and Yantiv and Bris and Tefillin as a source of happiness. At the end of the story, where they realize just what a Haman perspective can do to a person, take him out of the world, Ayehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar, they now re-envisioned Torah as being light, Torah as being bright and beautiful and uplifting, and Yantiv as being a source of Simcha, and Bris Milah as a chance for Sasam, and Tefillin as Yikar. Those terms indicate a perspective. The mitzvahs that they had all along, they had these mitzvahs the entire time, but their perspective was warped during the Haman years. They lost it too, and it took nearly losing it all. And seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday life, even when he's hidden, even when he's masked, especially when he's hidden, the chance to notice Hashem gave them a sense of, this is Ora, this is Simcha, this is a life of happiness, this is an opportunity to feel all this joy we're all searching for. So what are our takeaways for tonight? Takeaways for tonight is that happiness is not a number, a pile of things. Happiness is a state of mind. It's the opposite of feeling empty or lacking, or what's coming to me, or what don't I have yet, or how much am I missing, how much am I wanting. It's recognizing that serenity and wealth in this world, not the next world, in this world, to actually enjoy life in this world comes from within and from above. For a person to truly be present, to actually take stock of what we have. Because if we focus on the 1%, that's a human perspective. And it takes them out of the world. It's an Eitz Hadas perspective, where we're focusing on the one thing we can't have. But instead, we can have the perspective to focus on everything we do have. Rosh Hashem, as we start to build this simcha, Rosh Chodesh Adar, all the way to Purim and beyond, to actually take this time, this perspective, to realize that it's not wealth which leads to happiness, not the osher which leads to osher. It's osher which leads to osher. It's having a sense of happiness, having a sense of contentment, which allows a person to feel wealthy. La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar Kein Tiyelenu.